الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا بطانة من دونكم لا يألونكم خبالا ودوا ما عنتم قد بدت البغضاء من أفواههم وما تخفي صدورهم أكبر قد بينا لكم الآيات إن كنتم تعقلون. ها أنتم أولئك تحبونهم ولا يحبونكم وتؤمنون بالكتاب كله وإذا لقوكم قالوا آمنا وإذا خلوا عضوا عليكم الأنامل من الغيظ قل موتوا بغيظكم إن الله عليم بذات الصدور. آمنت بالله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers and sisters who may be listening, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I thought of dedicating today's discussion on perhaps sharing some points on how the community ought to react, whether we should be reacting or not, and how we ought to be reacting on the onslaught against the most noble of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. More than 1400 years ago, Abu Sufyan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, before accepting Islam, said some verses of poetry against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On that occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam told Hazrat Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu that, O Hassan, stand up and respond to these verses of poetry. So Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu recited and composed verses of poetry that were unmatched and will always be unmatched until the day of Qiyamah. وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتُ عَيْنٌ وَأَجْمَلَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ خُلِقَتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقَتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. An Urdu poet has also translated it and he says, جہا میں ان سا چہرہ ہے نہ ہے خندہ جبھی کوئی ابھی تک جن سکی نہ عورتیں ان سا ہنسی کوئی نہیں رکھی ہے قدرت نے میرے آقا کمی تجھ میں جو چاہا آپ نے مولا وہ رکھا ہے سبھی تجھ میں. وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتْ عَيْنٌ. That more beautiful than you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no eye has ever seen. More beautiful than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The light that used to illuminate from the countenance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unparalleled. The Sahabi says that I was on the 14th full moon. On that night I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sometimes I would look at the sun and sometimes I would look at the countenance of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he can take qasam upon qasam that the countenance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more illuminating, more bright, more beautiful than the 14th full moon. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that when I wanted to thread the needle, I used to thread the needle in the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because there was sufficient light for me to see. And I was able to thread the needle. وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتْ عَيْنٌ. More beautiful than you no eye has ever seen. وَأَجْمَلَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ. And no lady has ever given birth to anyone more beautiful than Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. You have been created free of any defect, any deficiency, any problem. There is absolutely no defect in the creation of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not only his creation, his physical appearance, also his character, the way he interacted with people, his akhlaq, his morals, his ethics. There was absolutely nothing wrong. كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's no deficiency in you at all. It is as though you have been created like how you wanted to be created. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you how He wanted you to be created. But it is as though you wanted. Who likes there to be any deficiency in himself? No one prefers that for himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this way. كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. And then he was rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy for the worlds, a mercy for the fish in the oceans, a mercy for the birds in the sky, a mercy for the black, a mercy for the white, a mercy for the rich, a mercy for the poor. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was even a mercy for the non-Muslims and the disbelievers, because they wouldn't have ever been created had it not been for Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullah alayhi used to recite so very often that na masjid na masjid ke unche minare, na qibla na kaaba na makkah madina, gar muhammad na hote ta kuch bhi na hota. That neither would there have been any masjid, nor would there have been any long tall minaret, nor would there have been makkah, nor would there have been the kaaba. Nothing would have been created had Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not been destined to come into this world. So he was a mercy for everyone, a mercy for every single human being, every single animal, every single thing on the surface of the earth. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy. Wo nabiyo me rahmat laqab paane wala, murade gharibo ke bar laane wala, musibat me ghairo ke kaam aane wala, wo apne parayo ka gham khane wala. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from all the anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, he was the one who was given the title rahmatul lil alameen. Wo nabiyo me rahmat laqab paane wala, murade gharibo ke bar laane wala. He was there to shoulder the difficulties, the hardships, the calamities that the poor, the needy, the awe-stricken were suffering with. Look at how Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with his enemies. Look at how Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with those who were there to take his blood in the battle of Badr, in the battle of Uhud, on other occasions. He was rahmatul lil alameen. Musibat mein ghairon ke kaam aane wala. When there was any calamity, then he was there to help and assist others. How dare anyone ever cast any evil word about Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And then what they say is that there is freedom of expression. And the media seems to be highlighting this thing as a fight, a contest between two groups of people. Those who are for media freedom of expression and those who are against it. So those who are for media freedom of expression, they are supposed to be the enlightened ones. Those are supposed to be the ones who are progressive in their thinking. And needless to say, anyone who is against freedom of expression, he is daqyanus and backward. And that is how they seem to be portraying Islam. That Islam, or at least on the one hand the West, is a civilized and ever civilizing society. And Islam, na'uzu billah, is a religion which refuses to accept to be a civilized nation. And they ask the question, that are you for freedom of expression or are you not for freedom of expression? And we go about trying to answer that question in a somewhat apologetic manner. It is like asking the question, have you stopped hitting your wife? Have you stopped beating up your wife? However you answer that question, you are in problems. If you say, yes, I have stopped, it means you were hitting her before that. And now you stopped. And you saw you haven't stopped. So then there's problems. So are you for freedom of expression? Or are you not for expression? Whether you have to answer yes or no, you are in problems. It is like a person throws a coin up and he says, heads you win and tails I lose. So either way, the person is going to lose. So let us go a little bit deeper into that. What is it? Whether it was the satanic verses of the accursed Salman Rushdie in the 1980s, or it was the cartoons of Denmark that were published in 2005, or the latest assault upon the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the form of the film The Innocence of Muslims, or the latest cartoons that were published on Wednesday. If you have to analyze all of these situations, it is not the freedom of expression that they are fighting for and that they are arguing for. That is the only that is how they are trying to market it and package it in the packaging of freedom of expression. The reality of the matter is that what they are fighting for is freedom to insult. Freedom to insult. And what the Muslims are fighting for and have been always fighting for from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was freedom from insult. There are two different ideologies that we are fighting against. Two opposites. There's only a to and a from that is the difference between us and them. They are fighting for freedom to insult, and we are fighting for freedom from insult. Imagine a society where everyone is free to insult everyone. So the business in which this sort of moral is held high up, it is considered to be a moral value, that we are allowed to insult and no one must say anything to us because it is part of our freedom of expression. So the person says, the boss goes into the office and he starts insulting all the employees. And the accounts people are insulting the creditors. And the creditors are insulting the accounts people. So that is in the business place. And when they come home, then the children are insulting their parents. And the parents are insulting the children. And each of them feel that no one must tell us anything. And the spouse, the husband is insulting the wife. The wife is insulting the husband. All in the name of some moral value that they wish to uphold. Of course, a society like that would never last very long. It would never last very long. A society like that would be destroyed in no time. And the reality of the matter is that the West does not even practice on this full freedom that they are fighting for, freedom to insult. But somehow or the other they make an exception when it comes to Islam and the Muslims. When it comes to Islam and the Muslims, they make an exception. So let us not feel for one moment that it is the freedom of expression that they are fighting for. It's not the freedom of expression that they are fighting for. It is the freedom to insult Islam and the Muslims that they are fighting for. And Islam, on the other hand, is fighting for the freedom from insult. That is what we are fighting for. The greatest enemy of Islam are the false gods. But when it came to addressing the issue of the false gods also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ
فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. That do not speak about the false gods even. Those who worship the false gods, do not ridicule them. Do not mock and jeer at them. Do not speak badly about them. So it is the freedom from expression, freedom from insult that Islam and the Muslims are fighting for. And up till this date, Islam and the Muslims are proud that whether it be Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, who some disbelievers believe committed a sin against humanity, na'uzu billahi min dhalik, or it be Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Moses, or Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Jesus, any one of them, Islam is proud that to this day, neither have Islam nor the Muslims mocked or vilified or spoken ill of any one of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. Not only the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, but even the gods of the previous, of those, the idols, which are false gods. We do not speak bad and evil, and that is the beautiful teaching of Islam and Sharia. And that is the value that we stand for. It is up to us to realize and understand which one is a better value to fight for and to stand for. Is it the freedom to insult that is a better value to stand for? Or the freedom from insult which Islam and the Muslims stand for? Is that the value that we as Muslims need to stand for? And they can be, it is a rhetorical question. It is a question that everyone will answer. Even the non-Muslims will answer that it is the freedom from insult that is the correct position that everyone needs to stand for. I want to spend the next few minutes to discuss what we should be doing in this particular situation. And I have three bits of little advice, and I want to spend the last few minutes reading out a press statement issued by the Jamiatul Ulama Transvaal, Maulana Ibrahim Bahamsab, which was very balanced and it will give us some sort of idea of how we ought to be reacting. The very first thing that we ought to be doing in a situation like this is to enhance and equip ourselves with the knowledge of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When these sort of assaults, attacks come upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we become somewhat apologetic. And the reason of that is that we ourselves are not equipped with sufficient knowledge of the beautiful life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When these sort of attacks come, they try to extinguish the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their mouths. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. They try to extinguish that light with their mouths, with their films, with their lectures and talks and speeches. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make sure that more books of seerat are sold. More people want to learn about this beautiful deen of Islam and Shariat. And these winds, which seem to be coming as an attack upon Islam, in reality they cause Islam to spread even further and wider. And that is the reality. So we have to equip ourselves with the proper knowledge of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with the proper knowledge of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is the very first thing that we need to do. The second thing that we need to do is to now embrace the sunnah practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with our heart and mind. Can there still be a time that a person is still not embracing the sunnah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam? There is no need for us to become apologetic. From head to toe we have sacrificed everything for the West, and they still mock and jeer at us. It is time now to turn back to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and practice upon every sunnah, every command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, without asking what the wisdom in the sunnah is, why we should be practicing upon it, What is the wisdom, what is the hikmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in practicing upon the sunnah? The Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they used to practice upon something because it was sunnah. And we leave out the action because it is sunnah. Isn't there something to think about there? Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu on one occasion, and he was known by the Sahaba as Afqahu Sahaba, the person from amongst the Sahaba who had the greatest insight and understanding of the laws of Sharia. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said anything, he knew exactly why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying anything. He was Afqahu Sahaba, the Sahabi who had the most amount of in-depth knowledge of the Sharia. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is addressing a group of Sahaba, and how it happens sometimes that a group of Sahaba are sitting and some people are standing on the sides. Nabi alayhi salatu and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu is coming into the gathering. He still hasn't even reached the gathering. He's by the shoes. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was telling those Sahaba who are standing on the sides of the gathering to sit down. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, Ijlisu, sit down. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Of course he understood. Of course he understood that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is not telling me. He said, but my body did not let me move a step forward. My body did not let me move a step forward because the command of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come. Ijlisu, sit down. And he sat down there in the shoes. Despite the fact that he knew what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Mustanad raste wahi mane gaye, jin se hoke tere diwane gaye, lot aaye jitne farzane gaye, taaba manzil sirf diwane gaye. He said that the true pathways are the pathways of the lovers who don't ask why and what is the wisdom behind it. Lot aaye jitne farzane gaye, those who want to ask the wisdom and want to measure everything on the scale of their intellect, they came back. They didn't reach the objective of their love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lot aaye jitne farzane gaye, taaba manzil sirf diwane gaye. Those who are madly in love, who are not worried and concerned about why, what is the wisdom behind anything, they reach their objectives and the places. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on one occasion he's traveling from Madinah Sharif to Makkah Sharif. In one place he sits down as though he is relieving himself. And then he gets up. And the people ask him, what did you do? Abdullah ibn Umar, such a great sahabi of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relieving himself at this exact point. I did not have to relieve myself, but I thought, let me emulate the gesture of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that point in time. Were they not intellectual people? They were intellectual people to the highest degree. But they were lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the time has come now for us to emulate the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is one thing saying that what they did was wrong. But look into our lives as well. How much of the sunnah is there in our lives? And the third thing that we need to do is to propagate the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to whatever extent we can. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of practicing upon it. May He fill our hearts to the brim and overfill it with the love of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the guidance and the spirit and the strength to protect the honor and the dignity of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to spend the next 2 minutes for the benefit of the congregation to just read out the statement of the Jamiatul Ulama Transvaal, which will help us to understand things in perspective. It is a very balanced thing, so let's try and listen very, very carefully. On Tuesday, gunmen stormed the US consulate in Benghazi, reportedly killing Washington's envoy to Libya, alongside 3 others. In Cairo, a group of people scaled the walls of the US embassy, ransacking it and pulling down the nation's flag flying at the building. As news reports have it, public protests have now spread to Tunisia, Sudan, Yemen, Lebanon, Iran, Iraq, and as far as Bangladesh. a somewhat obscure film, Innocence of Muslims, aimed at provoking Muslims, has come onto the limelight through these consulates and embassy attacks in Libya and Egypt respectively. A trailer of this film, which has been on the internet since 2011, has had an Arabic version of it circulated in the Middle East during this week, sparking an outpouring of indignation. By his own admission, the supposed creator of the film, who is said to have gone into hiding now, is reported to have said that the 2-hour movie cost $5 million to make and was financed with the help of more than 100 Jewish donors. Once told about the attacks on the 2 US embassies, he is reported to have reacted by saying, "Islam is a cancer, period." This is what he said. Circulation of material that provokes Muslims is disdainful and represents continued and orchestrated attempts to marginalize Islam and Muslims, negating the values of mutual understanding and respect. We condemn all those people that go to great lengths, committing resources simply to promote hate and bigotry by propagating lies and distortions about Islam and Muslims, let alone insulting the honor of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Regardless of time and the characterization of Muslims as moderate, ultra-conservative or extremist, an insult against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam evokes the same emotions and outrage from among his followers. We appeal to all Muslims to protest in defense of the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with restraint and in a dignified manner, lest our reaction plays out to serve the interest of Islamophobes and those who have dedicated themselves to acts of provocation. O Allah, shower your blessings upon the lead, our leader, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on his descendants, as you have showered your blessings upon our leader Ibrahim and his descendants. Verily you are the praiseworthy, the glorious. O Allah, bestow favors on our leader Muhammad and on his descendants, and bestow favors upon our leader Ibrahim and on his descendants. Verily you are the praiseworthy and the glorious. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. No matter how much they ridicule him, no matter how much they disdain him, no matter how much they try and vilify him, when they speak, say his name, they say Muhammad, which means the praiseworthy. So at the end of the day, they praise him. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.